Blog Talk Radio.
A young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever met someone who has experienced physical abuse? Or have you experienced physical abuse? Tell me, do you know what psychological abuse involves? Have you ever wanted to know more about being positive instead of vengeful or spiteful? Would you like to learn how a family reacts to someone who tells all? Can you imagine writing your own personal story with all of the struggles and the successes? Have you ever heard about a fascinating book called Changing Lanes, From Hell to Heaven? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to survive and how to thrive? If you can answer yes, or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest. It is the first time she is on the show, and she is a success coach who will provide us with informative, inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million listeners. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine and stop with the whining, and then have some cheese and crackers and lots of chocolate. Now let me tell you about our guest today. When you grow up in an environment where the adults violate the trust of children, it becomes a difficult road to overcome. It takes that one person to influence your life and tell you that you deserve better and you can become something and be somebody if you work hard to find your way. My guest wants everyone to step out on a limb when opportunity arises and lift up a struggling young child or adolescent. These are formative years for them, and they need role models, lots of them. It's so easy to go down the path of least resistance, which is not always the best path. It is a crime that the adults in life, sometimes during childhood, do not think it was important enough to protect innocent children from violence, abuse, or a sexual predator. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today Haley Rose Barrett, the author of Changing Lanes, From Hell to Heaven. Hi, Haley. How are you doing?
Hi, January. Thank you for having me. I'm doing wonderful. I appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you on the show, and I enjoyed reading your book. It was quite a fascinating journey that you've been on. Could you share with my listeners where your story began, where you were born, and tell us a little bit about your family life when you were growing up?
Well, I was born in Miami, Florida, and that's where I grew up. I had a large family, a large Catholic family, seven of us, and you know, had working parents. I lived in a average neighborhood, and, you know, life was supposed to be normal for me.
But it wasn't, was it? You lived in chaos, and the rules changed, and you never knew when you were going to get into trouble. Isn't that true?
Correct. I describe my childhood as very chaotic. We never really had any, you know, I was always envious of the neighbors. They had to go home and do their chores on Saturday morning because they had assigned chores, and then they would receive their allowance. And I didn't have any of that growing up. It was just chaos from day to day. You didn't know what was expected of you and what the expectations were. The rules would change often, and I never really knew when I would be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in a heightened state of an alert, basically.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your parents take you to counseling, and how did that work out?
I'm not sure. You know, my mother has passed away now. I did ask her at one time why she brought us all to counseling when we were younger, because I do remember that, and I do remember having to take Ritalin or whatever it was that they were giving us at the time. And she said it was to help us cope better with all the you know, the argumentative and disruption in the family. So I don't know. It wasn't a positive experience for me, because I didn't understand why I had to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, with no one's explaining to you what's taking place, it's very difficult. And sometimes those kind of drugs can make children sleepy and submissive. And it's
exactly.
Sometimes it works for some kids, but for some other kids, it's a disaster. Now, tell me, frankly, Haley, do you have any happy memories from your childhood?
I do. I have a few happy memories from childhood, although there aren't many.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I do remember the most about my mother is sometimes when I would come home from school, the house would be filled with that wonderful smell. She had been baking bread during the day, or she had baked cookies. She baked everything from scratch, and she was quite a gourmet cook.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, those cookies and that bread just gave me a sense of oh, this is home.
Yeah, this is what it's supposed to be like. You know, I always ask my guests about mentors, who their early mentors were. Could you tell us a little bit about your grandmother?
Well, my grandmother, my mother's mother, was absolutely, I have no doubt that we had been together previously in another life somewhere, because we were soulmates. We had the same birth date, and she loved me so much, and I loved her so much, and she kind of favored me. I was the fat one, and she always gave me that extra helping of cheesecake. I don't know why, but my grandmother and I were best of friends.
Oh, well, that's so good that you had someone like her in your life and that you could connect with her as a soulmate. Now, let's talk a little bit about the sexual abuse by a neighbor that was taking place, but you were a little too young to understand this situation. Tell us about that.
Well, it wasn't, you know, until later on in my life that I started to have flashbacks and nightmares about many things in my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe any of my sisters or siblings were aware at that time that we were spending so much time inside a predator, an alcohol predator's house.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 10-year-old daughter, and I remember her showing me her pictures of her naked, and I always asked her, well, who took these? And she said, well, that's none of your business, you know.
Uh-huh, yeah, you bet.
You know, so it wasn't till many years later that I started thinking, you know, that wasn't normal. And when I started to hear the stories about how many other children he had violated in the neighborhood, everybody knew it, and mm-hmm. I didn't know it. I don't know why I never was privy to that information. So there's no doubt that, you know, his victims, you know, have extreme nightmares now and, you know, I have a hard time adjusting as adults. And until all these suppressed memories that have been eventually ping-ponged their way to the surface during adulthood, until you address that and try to get help for that, they're just going to keep resurfacing. And so I do remember sitting on the couch with this drunk, old man, mm-hmm. looking through pornographic magazines. And I couldn't comprehend it all as a child.
Yeah, you were too young. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors right now. We'll be right back with Haley Rose Barrett, and we're going to talk about the wonderful book she's written, sharing the experiences from her childhood. We'll be right back.
Do you desire more control over your money and financial matters? Would you like simple solutions to complex financial topics? Do you want more security in your financial future? If you answered yes to any of these questions, the book 101 Principles to Wealth is your answer. It's available now on Amazon.com. That's 101 Principles to Wealth by Charles Brokop. Order today.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
I can highly recommend both of these books, and I'm pleased to announce that all three, Charles Brokop, Thomas Ingracia, and Jared Kraminski, will be back with us again next month. Right now, we're visiting with Haley Rose Barrett, and we've been talking about her wonderful book, Changing Lanes. Haley, what prompted you to write this book?
Wow. It wasn't until my children, were grown that I realized that I need to tell my story. I kept it all the deep, dark family secrets for my entire life, but that was only because I wanted my children to have a life that was free of adult problems and, live a child's life. And mm-hmm. it wasn't until later that I want to tell my story because I feel like the voiceless, there are children that have no voice. We didn't have a voice. Nobody stood up for us. There was no family members that knew. There were family members that knew what were going on. There were neighbors that knew what were going on, but no one stood up for us. And I think that it's wrong. And I'm here to give hope and tell the people that feel like they have no voice and they have no way out that they do have a way out. And mm-hmm. It's my little way of helping, and it's just by telling my story. And I would like to think of myself as spreading Haley's sunshine in their life.
How long did it take you to write your book, and how did your family react to this book?
Well, it's honestly over about 10 years I started writing the book, and I would work on it a little bit and then put it away for a couple of years because it was so painful to keep going back and forth over these memories. And, I'd pull it out and revise it. And, it was finally when my son graduated college that I realized that, okay, I've completed raising my children, and now I think it's time. Mm-hmm. They didn't know about my childhood, and I didn't feel like they really knew me, my children. So mm-hmm. to me, that was the impetus for publishing my story.
Okay.
I didn't know if anyone would even want to read it. I felt a tinge of regret instantly after I put it through with the publisher.
Yeah, everyone does that.
Oh, my goodness. It was, I just wanted to crawl under a rock. But, mm-hmm. when I actually got the book and there's a picture of the little girl on the front, who I actually just fell in love with when I found that picture. And mm-hmm. I had that book in my hand and I had a giant smile and I realized that, it's just the shame that I feel still resurfacing. And I knew that I was doing the right thing. I think the shame and the guilt still sits deep in my core. And I just knew I was doing the right thing after I looked at that little girl. I need to help those that don't have a voice, and I want to make them feel like they matter. Those are the mm-hmm. ones who don't the people who will benefit from my story are those, and hopefully regain the strength to go on living their lives, even
now,
though so much that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, now you were in an environment where you witnessed people being abused. You witnessed your father abusing your mother. You witnessed your father beating your siblings until they were almost lifeless. How does that affect your reality if it's the only road you've been down and you don't know any other way that life exists?
Well, I think that that has just such a powerful impact on the child. In today's society, child protection services would have been notified, no doubt, and my father would have been arrested. That part of it I will never understand, why the adults in the neighborhood, you know, in the family didn't step in. But I believe that it really affects children in many ways, and it affected me in these ways. You know, to see a man beating a woman teaches a child of a lack of respect. It teaches them about respect or lack thereof. To see a father beating a sibling until they're almost lifeless, your trust is gone. It erases trust that a child must instinctively have for a parent, and it instills fear. I was very fearful, and I was in perpetual chaos and confusion, and authority figures. You know, I was very confused about trusting authority figures, and it was very confusing for me.
That's so understandable. Now, tell us a little bit about the other six siblings. How did they get through this, and how did they react to your book?
Well, I think that, you know, it was half and half divided. I think, you know, some of my family was, you know, okay with it, and the other half was not. And, you know, was it really my right to tell my story and come out with this story when there were family members who were never, ever going to tell their story?
Yeah.
Was it really my right, you know? But I believe that we were innocent, and, you know, the perpetrators always go on living their life as they please, and it's always the victims that are silenced. And I think that that is wrong, and that is why I have stepped out and stepped up and told my story.
And it's such a powerful story, and you've told it so compassionately. When we're talking about physical and psychological abuse, they both are horrific. But for you personally, which was worse?
You know, psychological has to be the worst for me. I never felt loved as a child. I always felt I was a burden. It was another mouth to feed. I never told that I was pretty. I was fat. I was an obese child. You know, I was made fun of. I was bullied. I never had any role models really that helped me and guided me. And there was really no one that I can remember that ever said to me, gosh, you would be really good at this, or, you know what, you may be a little bit chubby. Let me help you with, show you how to eat correctly, and let me show you, how about let's start a little exercise for you. You know, instead I spend most of my time learning how to survive and not get in trouble from things I didn't even know I was in trouble for.
Yeah, you were kind of left hanging out there along with your siblings. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Haley Rose Barrett about what it was like for her to get away and go to college, which I think must have been a good thing, but then it turned out to be very difficult for her. We'll be right back.
Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to our wonderful No Whines world, and it's a feel-good world with Dale Bruner. We're back with Haley Rose Barrett, and she is not a whiner, but rather she is a winner because she wrote a powerful book about her experiences growing up being physically and psychologically abused. Haley, tell us what it was like when you went to college. Was it good to get out of the house and get away from your family?
That was in itself a difficult decision because I mothered my younger siblings. So I had four younger siblings that I was essentially the mother to.
Oh,
so
uh-huh.
It was a difficult, I would be leaving them. And so I stayed at home for community college for 2 years. And then I decided that I needed to break away if I was ever going to make anything of myself. And so I did. I went away to college, and I had no clue what I was going to do when I got there, but I had friends there, and I know that they would help me figure it out. You know, I didn't even know what I would study when I got there. I just knew that I needed to go, and it turned out that college was very difficult for me. I didn't learn much in high school. In fact, I don't even know how I passed high school, to be truthful. I remember taking all those standardized tests and just Christmas training and bubbling all those answers. I mean, I don't know how I passed high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said, no one ever challenged me or helped me decide what I would be good at in life. So there I was. I just went to college. Here I am, college. Help me out. So, go ahead.
What did you study in college, and did you graduate with a degree?
I did. I studied, my first degree was in food and nutrition, and I decided that I wanted to actually... The impetus for that was that I wanted to help obese children, believe it or not, and I wanted to start a fat farm, and I wanted to help them with their diets and how to exercise because I never had that, and I thought, gosh, I could really help those kids. Mm-hmm. So I did. I got a degree in nutrition and then continued on and got a degree in nursing, and it wasn't until after 6 years of college and 2 degrees that I felt like now I know a few things. I had finally a solid education. But it took a lot of effort to get to that end point. I studied night and day. I didn't date. I had to study math and there's very basic things, trigonometry, chemistry, biology. I mean, I had to start from zero, basically. And then I found out on my own what I was good at. I found out that science and biochemistry was something that I loved it and was good at. So,
how wonderful that you were able to discover that. Now, after you left college, how long before you married your first husband and had your two children?
Right out of graduating college, I would say in two to three months, I married my first husband.
Uh-huh.
And then my children were about, my first son was about 2.5 years after that.
How did the baggage that you took with you into that marriage affect your relationship with your husband and your children?
Well, it's hard to explain because it's not until now that I look back and I think how dark those days really were for me. It was such a weight that I felt every day, and I just couldn't see the forest through the trees with all this weight that I carried and numbness and emotionally empty. And you know, I started on antidepressants, and after I wanted to commit suicide, and I, you know, went for help, I started on antidepressants, and you know, people that want to kill, you know, it's that you feel so numb, and I couldn't feel any emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually at that point when people try to hurt themselves just so that they can feel anything. So antidepressants helped me.
This is quite a tragic, difficult story to tell, and I appreciate you doing this for our listeners. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Haley Rose Barrett.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
I hope that all of you, if you are not socially fit this year, I hope that you will become so. It is my intention to do so too. We're visiting with another priceless personality on our show. We're visiting with Haley Rose Barrett, and we're talking about her book, Changing Lanes, From Hell to Heaven. Haley, how did you come up with the title, Changing Lanes?
Well, I think we all get to that in our life. We either have to live with where we are or do something about it. And I was at a red light one day, believe it or not. And the teenager in the car next to me was brumming up his mirror. And really that just started me thinking, you know, and he sped ahead of me. And this is actually the beginning of my book. He sped ahead of me and was changing lanes so rapidly in and out. And then I met him at the next red light. And that kind of got me thinking, gosh, what was all that about? You know, you jerk. Here we are at the same red light. Anyway, I don't know. It was just a long thought process, but everyone's hell is different. That was actually true, but everybody's hell on earth is different for them. I think that, you know, what my definition of hell is going to be much different than somebody else's definition of hell.
Sure.
And heaven is going to be the same way, you know, if you can relate it to things that are happening in your life.
Well, it's a great title, and it's a very powerful, brave book that you've written. Now, let's backtrack and talk about your first marriage. You were suicidal and very depressed, obviously. And how did you make the decision to divorce your first husband, and then you left your children and went away to school? Tell us how that came about.
Well, I just knew that I wanted a different life. I didn't want a different life without my children, though. So I figured that, you know, and I knew that I thought maybe I'd like to be a doctor. So I really felt strongly about that. But I was 40 years old. I needed, you know, I was starting pretty late. So I don't know. I just decided that the only way, legitimate way that a mother would leave her children is to go to better herself. And I don't mean leave my children, but leave them physically so that I could go and better myself and try to make sense of my life. And so I left down south to attend school, and I left my children with their dad, which he was a great father, and I had no reservations about leaving them whatsoever with him. And, you know, I commuted every other weekend. And, you know, that's how it went for a while.
Now, that must have been very – how long of a commute was this?
It was 7 hours one way.
Wow.
So many, you know, many days I would be in the car with my little, you know, class lectures on my tapes, and it was kind of good. It was 7 hours worth of listening to tapes and 7 hours back listening to tapes. So,
tell me, did your children seem to understand what was going on, and how did you maintain the mother-child bond with them with this separation taking place?
Well, I spoke with my children every day. They knew where I was because they helped me move. I packed up, you know, a new haul and towed my car, and you know, they drove with me for 7 hours and helped me move into my apartment. And so they knew exactly where I was, and I had shared equal custody of my children. So, you know, all the summers, a lot of time in the summer, they would be with me, and the school year with their father, and then I just commuted to see them, or they came to see me throughout the year.
And that would keep you close. Now let's talk a little bit about nursing, and that was such an important part of your life, and you met such interesting people along the way. I particularly enjoyed reading about the Dolls, and they were such a positive force. Could you share the story about the Dolls, who were your friends?
The Dolls were a group of my labor and delivery friends. We all worked at the hospital, and we went to each other's weddings. We were the nurse for them when we had our babies. We were the best of friends, and you know, there were many days that we couldn't stand the sight of each other, but we learned to tolerate each other's differences, and we would do anything for each other, and we have been through deaths in the families, you know, children, mothers, other family members that passed away unexpectedly, and we were really very strong for one another, and we always went away every Mother's Day weekend to Destin, Florida on the beach, and would have, you know, wonderful weekend together, and I have very fond memories of those days with my friends, the Dolls.
Oh, well, that's such an adorable nickname for them, and it certainly describes them beautifully. Could you share with my listeners a little bit about Nicholas and how he affected your life?
You know, many patients I am drawn to, I believe that 100% I'm drawn to help them in some way. I don't always know what the reason is at the beginning, but it came clear at the beginning of taking care of this child, you know, this boy. He was 21 with muscular dystrophy. He could not move anything on his body but his head. And he lived in a small, tiny apartment with flies and lice and roaches and four other family members, a great-grandmother and a mother. And, you know, I just was his entertainment. Michael, you know, we got along great. I was his everything. I would give him baths up and down. I would give him pedicures. I would put on the Mariah Carey music for him. It was his favorite. And I would sing for him and dance for him because I knew that the end of his life was right around the corner. And
right,
today with all that we have together in this infestation that we're standing in. So what are we going to do about it? We have to make the best of what's happening today. And so let's do something happy. Let's go for a ride. Let's go to the comic book store. Here, what can I do for you today? Because you know what? I can walk and I can go to the bathroom and I can eat. I don't need you to feed me. I can eat. But if he needed to turn his head, I would have to turn his head for him or scratch his nose or, you know, it was very humbling to take care of him.
And it was an honor and a privilege, I'm sure. Share with our listeners, after Nicholas sadly died, how did you reach out to help his mother?
You know, after Nicholas passed away, I was felt such a pull again because, you know, I had been with the family for a while, you know, prior to him passing away. But the mother, his mother was not an educated woman, and her goal in life and her wish was to finish her GED. So, you know, I made a couple phone calls and tapped into a couple resources that I knew, and I found someone to purchase a computer for her and sent it to her house so that she could finish her GED online while she cared for all of those other children. And to me, that was just the best feeling ever.
Yeah, that is such a amazing story and such an amazing experience that you're sharing. Now, before we go on, Haley, could you share your website information and tell my listeners how and where they can get your book?
My book is available at, almost any online website. I mean, any online books, you know, you can buy books anywhere. Amazon, Life Rich Publishing is my publisher. You can buy it on their site, Barnes & Noble. There's 25,000 different sites around the world that you can just punch in Changing Lanes from Hell to Heaven. And my website is www.HaleyRoseBarrett.com.
Wonderful. And I've been to Haley's website, and I highly recommend it to all of you listening. Now, tell us about your journey through the years and the many life-changing moments that stand out as above the rest as pivotal to developing the person you've become.
I would say that, you know, being dismissed from the medical program was pivotal for me. That's really when my life came to a crashing halt, and I said, gosh, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing and where am I going? And that was it for me. I had to search deep. I had to ask myself and be truthful. Where is it that I want to go, and am I willing to make all the changes that need to be changed, you know, the changes that I need to make? I had to get down to the core. You know, I realized that my foundation in life was not what it should have been, but then I need to move on now. I have to choose, you know, I have to forgive my father, and I do forgive my parents, and I think that we have to forgive the people that have wronged you in your life. And that's the only way that you're going to be free and move forward from the darkness and all the heaviness that leads to depression and anxiety. And I didn't want to live there anymore. I didn't want to live in that depression and that anxiety and that darkness. I wanted to live in light, and I wanted to live in peace. You know, it doesn't mean that I have to be involved with, you know, my father or for anyone else to be involved with someone who has wronged them. But you have to free yourself from that negative energy that keeps you in that space. I feel like what was missing for me was just plain and simple humane love and kindness, just plain old kindness, you know. To me as a child, I don't feel like I ever received any of that. So now I make a special effort to spread humane love whenever an opportunity arises. You know, maybe you think of it as a random act of kindness, but that's what I try to do now. And I know that the universe will send that love back to you tenfold.
Yes, it certainly does. Now, you have a good understanding and positive outlook right now as we speak. looking back, did you ever feel vengeful or spiteful to the people that wronged you during your life?
Yes, I actually, I was, forgiveness again is the only pathway to free yourself. I did feel some
vengeful.
Vengeful. I was toward my ex-husband. He made it very difficult for me to see my children.
Mm-hmm,
he spoke
mm-hmm.
very poorly of me in front of my children, and mm-hmm. I always kept my head high, my chin high, and
mm-hmm.
I just had to forgive him and move on in order to free myself from that. And so it was such a, it just dawned on me one day that I needed to forgive him to move on from my life. So I did. And then there was another gentleman I dated after I was divorced, and his name was Dave S. And, Dave swindled me out of $1,200. And I don't feel like I deserve that. I feel like I was trying to be sympathetic and empathetic to his financial quandary that he was in, and I lent him the money
mm-hmm.
off of a credit card.
Well, certainly anyone would be vengeful and spiteful about that. We're getting ready to close out the show. Are you still nursing, and is your relation with your children, what is that like now?
Oh, I have a wonderful relationship with my children. They are just, I can't say enough about my children. My older son is a Marine officer, and he's off in Africa defending our, embassies. And my younger son is a financial guru in Atlanta, starting up his, startup company, and very compassionate children, and I have a wonderful, wonderful relationship with them, and I couldn't have asked for more than what I have right now in my life. I'm married to a wonderful man, and life is good. Life is really good.
And I'm so happy that you have taken the time to come on our show and share your wonderful book, Changing Lanes from Hell to Heaven. I read it this past week, and it's fascinating, and it's a wonderful story of someone who is making a powerful recovery. Thank you, Haley, and I hope you will come back and visit with us again.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
To my wonderful guests, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Haley. My upcoming guests will all amaze, amuse, and astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining World. When you can, please sign on to my website, januaryjones.com, with your name and email, and you will get a free download. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then have some wine, cheese, crackers, and start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my dear guest today, Haley Rose Barrett. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.